Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
Want it, buddy? Happy Tuesday. I'm a little weary. Are you a little weary, Brad?
Super weary.
Super weary. I think I went to bed sometime between 3 and 4 after writing about that game last night. And happily, we have a jam-packed show, as we do on Tuesdays. And so lots of folks to help carry me and y'all through it, including Gary Parrish in the very next segment. Gary's going to join us on the radio show. Gary, yesterday, I wasn't aware of this couple from Alabama that had escaped the
Oh, you didn't see these?
This I don't know how that story.
How did you miss that?
I don't, until the news broke when I was on Gary's show, that they had apprehended the lovebirds. Is she dead or alive?
She's I believe gone. Yes. I didn't get to
that?
Read the comments.
Yes. I don't want to bury her. I've killed people off on the show.
Yeah, well, BB King among others.
I've killed off people.
Yeah,
so
it's happened. I think she is gone.
She escaped from an Alabama prison along with the help of a guard or employee.
Yeah, Alabama jail official who allegedly fled with inmate dies after police chase. Yes, so she is.
They called
she is
it
gone.
A self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, that. Vicky White, 56.
Vicky White, also evidently the gentleman in question.
Casey White, 38.
Casey White, unrelated.
No relation. I know it's the South, but this one isn't related.
He had earlier tragically lost another girlfriend to a self-inflicted wound.
Well, this is a trend, isn't it?
I was told, I don't know how that one escaped. It's nice I pop on Gary's show at 5.
A little reprieve.
Things I learn. So who knows? Who knows what the hell we'll talk about beyond the Grizzlies.
Right.
Also, the NIL stuff and everything else. And then Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. I was a little concerned because the Grizzlies are flying back from the West Coast today. Mm. I presume, unless Chris is, fallen in love with the food scene out there, that he's going to be flying back, but he's going to be with us at 10 o'clock,
hey.
So that's good. And then, because I do think we all need a break from the exhausting series, it kind of falls on a nice day that Fish on Friday on Tuesday will be joining us. Our man in Washington, D.C., this time the special COVID edition.
Oh.
For the first time ever, Fishman has COVID.
Oh,
how
he has
that?
It.
He has had it. Yes, he has had it. You know why? He went to Arkansas.
Oh, that'll do it.
He went to
there
Arkansas.
There you go. That's
and
it.
And you know what else? He didn't wear a mask.
Oh.
And he's like the last guy in America wearing a mask. And he and Steve Kerr also. Steve Kerr.
Did he have COVID that last game? Do you think Kerr had COVID? He was wearing a mask.
He's kept wearing a mask, hasn't he?
I don't remember him wearing it in Memphis.
If he had, Yeah, maybe a West Coast thing. I don't really know. Anyway, Steve Kerr has COVID. Charles has COVID.
Yeah,
and
COVID?
So we'll talk to Charles from his deathbed. And I don't mean that's not terrible. That's a terrible
Careful.
Thing to say. Too many people have actually died of COVID.
A million.
Charles just has a really super sore throat. He's not very happy. But anyway, it is true that I know. Well, she put it on Facebook, so I'll say it too. Jennifer Biggs has COVID. There's a lot of people right now getting COVID.
Yeah, it's a wave. My kid's school is back to masking.
Is that true?
Yeah, they reinstated masking at Jake's school. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, for the rest of the, just to get through it.
And
they're
that's
like, why
the
not?
Lineup. Just to get through it, that is the lineup. GP, then Chris Harrington, then Fisher on Friday on Tuesdays. You may be able to tell. We have Brad Carson running the controls because Jeffrey is in France still.
Have you been following his Twitter account?
No, how is it?
So, like, it's all about bitching about airlines so far. Like, because you got Air France. It's a foreign travel. So, like, I guess
he's doing is bitching about airlines.
I see a lot of airline problems for young Jeffrey.
I want just photos of beautiful food and scenery and peace for him.
I hope he gets over there safely.
Anyway, in the wake of last night's game, as I was settling in to write about it, my overwhelming feeling, and again this morning, my overwhelming feeling is not about Dylan Brooks. We'll get to that. And by the way, we're going to take your calls in this first segment because that's the only time we have to take your calls. And I promised last night we would take your calls. So in a little bit, we will take your calls. It's not about Dylan Brooks. Oh, we'll get to that. It's not about Taylor Jenkins or Steven Adams. It's about I hate the freaking Warriors. I hate the Warriors. That my overwhelming feeling was I hate the Warriors. And I don't care who they play next. I hope they get blistered. It is amazing what a good series will do for you. But then particularly a series like this, screw them. Screw them. I hate them. I hate them. And I hated letting them off the hook last night. I hated watching them celebrate last night. I hated this emotional win for Steve Kerr because he's got COVID. Just screw the whole bunch of them. I hated Mike Brown. I hated the whole thing. I hated them. They didn't make a shot in the end. They just went to the foul line and went to the foul line and went to the foul line. And then the Grizzlies handed them the game. Here's the other thing that pissed me off. It pissed me off that at halftime, Charles Barkley, who I think is great, funny, whatever, he was just, he was promising you that the Grizzlies would lose. He was like, of course they're going to lose. He was like, they're going to lose without that dude, without Ja Morant. And it also pisses me off that he was right. That's what makes it worse, is that he was right. But the truth of the matter is, listening to him just be dismissive of the Grizzlies' chances and say it's only because Golden State is treating it like a scrimmage totally demeans what the Grizzlies have been about. And he said, Shaq brought up the Grizzlies were 20-5 without Ja this year. And Charles said, yeah, well, we don't know who they played. Well, Charles, you could know. It's in the damn, like, it's right there. You are actually an expert. You could know who they played. And, yes, you could know that, for example, the win against the Warriors was without Clay and without Steph. But you could also know the win against the Suns was with the whole damn Suns team. And the win with Brooklyn was with the whole damn Brooklyn team. And the win against Milwaukee was against the whole Milwaukee team. I feel bad that yesterday when I said I didn't give them much of a chance, that I didn't hang in deep. I mean, I said in the end, I'm not going to count them out because they've made me look stupid all year. Like, I am now a believer in the impossible because it's what this team has done. But I wanted the Grizzlies. Listen, there are different ways this could go. They weren't going to win in a blowout. They could have gotten blown out. They could have won a close one or they could have lost. The way that it went, I found myself, anyway, emotionally hauled in. Like, just win this one. Just, like, remind everyone, because you've shown it all year. Remind everyone what this team did without Ja Morant. How it's not some flippant accident that they do it without Ja Morant. They do it because they're really good defensively. Honestly, particularly without Ja Morant, because they fight like hell, because they have belief in each other, and go ahead and knock off. Even if it's meaningless, because it doesn't appear that Ja is going to be back this series. It doesn't sound like it. The Grizzlies are like saying, continues to be evaluated. No, they know what's going to happen. They're just not telling you or me, or maybe even themselves. But. Even if it was meaningless, I just wanted it for them, and I wanted to shut up Charles, and I wanted to stick it to the hated freaking Warriors. That then feeds into the absolute utter 100% deflating frustration with one Dylan Brooks. Now, it was not solely, you know, Kyle couldn't make a free throw, 2 of 7 from the line. That did not help. Jaren could not make a 3, 0 of 7 from 3. That did not help. But let's not avoid the elephant in the room, which is Dylan Brooks, on the night that he returned to the series, was awful. Shot them the hell out of it. Absolutely shot them out of it, including a shot in the final minute. Grizzlies clinging to the lead, gallantly, up by 1. At the time Dylan took this shot, he had taken 17 shots on the night. He had missed his first, airballed it, maybe foreshadowing. But anyway, of the 17 shots he'd taken, he had missed 13. Of the 7 three-pointers at this moment that he had taken, he had missed 6. You would just hope that there would be a moment when Dylan Brooks would say, and Bobby Marks tweeted about it, is he ever going to stop shooting jumpers? Like, at some point, is Dylan Brooks going to say, you know what? Not my night. I can help this team by guarding the way I do, by collecting assists the way he did. Like, it's not an accident that their best defensive performance last night was with Dylan Brooks back. That is not an accident. But it is so frustrating because you would wish that he would say, you know what? I'm going to stop shooting these damn jumpers because they're not going in. And he didn't, and he doesn't, and it is just absolutely infuriating. In the series, he is 9 of 44 from the field. In the series, he is 3 of 21 from the field. And the thing that offends me there isn't the 3, it's the 21. Like, Jaren took a bad shot at the end too. He took one good shot that he missed, and then he took a bad shot at the end too. But like, Jaren was crushing it down the stretch. Dylan didn't have a chance to touch the damn ball. He just jacked up a 26-foot three-pointer. And it is just, in the end, I think one of the things that makes Dylan Brooks Dylan Brooks, given his physical limitations, is his irrational confidence. But one of the things that, it's the same thing that then frustrates the hell out of you about Dylan Brooks. It's his absolutely unfounded confidence. He shot them out of that game, and they deserved better. And a game that began with Dylan Brooks getting booed relentlessly in Golden State ended with Dylan Brooks getting booed relentlessly on Twitter from Memphis, including leave him in the San Francisco, trade him instantly, can I start a GoFundMe to buy out his contract? It was ugly last night. Send him to Alcatraz. Like, it was the things I saw about Dylan Brooks, absolutely ugly. But it's born of this incredible frustration with his absolute unwillingness to grasp reality at times. And it does 100% it puts a point on this fine question of, can he then be a part of this team that aspires to do great things going forward? Because he can't if he's that. He can't if he's that. It was awful. Now, there's also a lot of criticism being directed at Taylor Jenkins. Really, I think first for having him in the game. I don't... I've got lots of tweets and texting. I hope you're going to rip Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins was second in the voting for coach in the year last year. They've had a fantastic season, and he is a very good coach. He has presided over something that no one saw coming. He has gotten the team to wildly overachieve. So, no, I'm not going to come in here and bury Taylor Jenkins. The question is should he have him in there? And I don't mind having him in there. You would think, though, that someone, and maybe just that's not the way the conversations go, you would think someone could say to Dylan, hey, maybe, you know, I leave it in there and go to the rim. Like when Dylan went to the rim, that's when he scored his buckets. He got the one meaningless three at the end. He had two threes. One meaningless three at the end, which was just almost bitter. I think Memphis fans were unhappy to see it go in. Because, like, you know, you don't get that one. And then he had one other three. But other than that, like, when he scored, it was taking it to the rim. Dylan, how about maybe like, focus on that. You know, lockdown defense. Distribute the ball. You don't got it tonight. You know, only take a shot if it's, you know. But then again, like, Taylor Jenkins has given the team, he has imbued them with enough confidence in themselves to go out and be 20-5 without Ja. You know, the criticism isn't so much, and Taylor asked about it later, he said, I have a lot of trust in that guy. And you want a coach to trust his players. My bigger question was what Dylan Brooks did with that trust. He betrayed the trust. He squandered the trust. He took advantage of the trust. You should not have trusted him last night. I didn't mind that Dylan Brooks was in there. It's not like they had, Jordan Poole on the bench. You know, they had 20-year-old Zaire Williams. They had D'Anthony Melton, who hasn't been good either. They had So I didn't mind that as much. The Steven Adams thing, by the way, in the end, they were much better with Steven Adams. Like, starting Steven Adams was the right answer. I don't know that it would have given them a victory in Game 3. They got their heads handed to them. But it was the wrong answer to stay with Xavier Tillman. Like, in retrospect, it was the wrong answer. So I will criticize Jenkins for that. It was the wrong answer in Game 3 to stick with Tillman. They're better with Steven Adams. We saw it again last night. And he got that one wrong. I don't know that it cost him Game 3, but he got that one wrong when he was making his Game 3 lineup. Wrong. I'm not going to, you know, Dylan Brooks is one of their best players, has been for years. He's on the court, but you do wonder if you can't, yo, Dylan, maybe chill just a little. And by the way, with all of this, what an awful night to be Dylan too. You know, you're getting booed by, you know, you are the villain. You say you would take back the foul if you could. So you're the villain in Golden State and you want to show them. And in the end, you were putrid, offensively, certainly. All right, so I hate the Warriors. I'm coming back to that. And I wanted Charles Barkley to stick it. But we're going to get to GP. I am going to open the phone lines now. 535-3776, 535-3776. I'm sure Jason and John will have more time for calls. We have an absolutely jam-packed lineup with GP, and then with Chris Harrington, and then with Fish on Friday. So if you want to get something off your chest about Dylan Brooks or about the Warriors or about Taylor Jenkins or about me or whatever it is, I'm a little cranky today because I was up till 4. But if you want to get something off your chest on this show, the phone number is 535-3776. We will take your calls for a little bit. 535-3776 is the phone number. Yeah, you can rip whoever you want to rip. Like, or whatever. You know what else you could say? You're proud as hell of their effort. And I was. It was hard not to be. Like, that was the team that, like, there's John, a hoodie, looking sad. Didn't he look sad?
He looked so sad.
He looked so sad. And, all right, 5353776. What are these people going to be talking about? What do you think they're going to say? What's going to be the theme?
I hope there's some positivity. I do.
I don't expect a lot of it.
I don't either.
I don't expect a lot of it. I'm not sure I came with it either myself.
It's hard, Jeff.
Luke in East Memphis. Luke, you're on.
Jeff.
Yes, sir. Luke.
Listen, man. I've been a longtime Grizzlies fan and supporter, and I just want to say I've never had my heart ripped out the way that it was last night, man. I've been there when Kobe dropped 60 on us in the pyramid. I've been around for a lot of stuff, Jeff. But yep.
That was the worst, dude.
Because I'm watching it with my homeboys, and I kept saying, "We're going to win this game." I'm telling them, "We're going to win this game," and I'm looking like a prophet. And for 46 minutes, I was. And
for all but 45 seconds, you were. Yeah, that was tough.
You don't know how crazy I was talking, man. But I was talking crazy. I mean, again, that was not supposed to be a dub last night.
No.
But we know how well the Grizzlies play. When, you know, I don't want to do that. But you know how well the Grizzlies play as a team, as a unit. And man, that was tough because I knew we had that one, Jeff. I knew we had that one.
All right, thank you. Sorry about your heart. 535. A bunch of hearts have been ripped out last night.
Yes.
5353776. We're going to take some calls on this. We go to, hey, it's Rodney in East Memphis. Rodney, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. I wasn't going to listen to sports talk radio today, but I guess I can listen.
But
to
you're
my
glad
local.
You did. You're glad you did, aren't you? It helps process.
Yeah,
it.
I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to Stephen A. Smith and none of those other guys.
Screw them too. All of them.
I don't want to hear that crap.
Me too. Me either.
I'm going to tell you who blew the game.
Okay.
Dylan Brooks. And De'Anthony Melton. What in the hell is Melton on the team for when he can never hit S, man, wide open? What are you pump faking for? Shoot the damn ball, man, or take it to the hole and draw a foul. Memphis played an excellent game, and I think it was an excellent game plan by the coach, but we allowed the Golden State Warriors to take it in the last minute or so. And the thing is, you know, with a three-point game with them, you know, somehow Steph is going to get open at some point in time. He's going to bury a three-point shot. And just like when the Tigers, when Kansas hit that last-second three to tie the game up against Memphis, I knew once Steph hit that, it was going to be over because we didn't have enough offense. And Jaren did the best he could.
Jaren was good last night. He was what you wanted him to be. I mean, he wasn't good from three, you know, but yes, absolutely.
Dylan played like a beast. And listen, I'm not a guy who uses a lot of profanity, but in my house last night when I was looking at that game, I cursed him out. And
oh,
I
you did,
to,
huh?
I said, Lord, forgive me for using profanity.
All right. Yeah, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Yeah, you can listen to local, right? Don't listen to those. Don't do any national TV or radio today. You're just going to. They were so excited every time. Every time the Warriors make a shot, Steph nails one. They were so freaking happy every time the Warriors hit a big shot. Screw them all. 5353776. John in Cordova, you're on.
Well,
John. Yes.
Good to see you guys or hear you.
Hear
I
you.
Suppose.
I guess here. Yeah.
My criticisms are one. I don't blame Dylan Brooks. I don't blame Dylan Brooks because this is who he is.
Right.
This is who he is, and this is what he does. This is. It's the same thing that the guys were saying about Russell Westbrook on the Lakers during the regular season. He was making his regular averages that he's always made. This is Dylan Brooks. This is what he does. Why are we criticizing him when he's the exact player that he's shown us to be for the many years that he's played for this team? Taylor Jenkins.
You didn't want him in the game. You didn't want Dylan in the game?
No. I was fine with Dylan being in the game. I wish that Dylan would accept the same kind of position on our team that Draymond Green has accepted on the Warriors. Draymond rarely shoots the ball, ever. But he plays defense and he distributes. And that's exactly what Dylan Brooks needs to do. Distribute and play defense.
He can shoot some of the shots. Like, Draymond will be open from 12, wide open, and will not shoot, ever. He doesn't ever, unless he's taking it to the rim. But yeah, I agree with that. But it's self-awareness is a difficult thing. And it's true in life, right? Do people understand their limitations? It was one of Rudy Gay's problems, right? Rudy Gay didn't understand his limitations. Jeff Green, same thing. There was a lack of self-awareness is a real problem, and it is Dylan Brooks' problem, right?
Yes, I agree. But what we lost by last night was not Taylor Jenkins making mistakes, although he should have used his challenge.
On the
he
flop.
He seems to be trying to collect them for some reason. I don't know why. We lost to the Warriors' experience last night. We lost to the Warriors' experience, and I will tell you why. Steph Curry is a genius because he decided that when the minute that he sensed Desmond Bane behind him, he threw himself forward.
Yes, it was really.
He flung like a plane.
It was as if a mysterious truck had hit him, an invisible truck. Yes.
It was crazy.
I wouldn't say invisible truck. Desmond Bane is a large man.
Yeah, he's a truck. Yeah, but he was propelled as if some mysterious force had hurled him.
He was propelled as though Luke Skywalker was standing behind
exactly.
him. That's what we lost. I don't know if they would have reversed it, though.
I don't think they would have reversed it because there was enough contact, they just weren't going to, you know.
At that point, there's 25.
There's no reason not to use the challenge. There's absolutely no reason not to use the challenge. 100%. All right. Yes. Thank you very much. We got to go. Appreciate it. 535-3776. Yes, there's no reason not to use that challenge at that point. It's Chris in Westwood. Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
I've been better.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm feeling like you guys this morning are really hurt for the players because they've been putting this together all year, sometimes with jobs, sometimes without. And it feels really painful to see them play their hearts out and come up short just again out there in Golden State. Mind you, I just wanted to say a little something about the Steven Adams thing. We know what Steven Adams can do. I think Taylor Jenkins knows what he can do, but he got caught up in the listening ears of the media, the fans saying that the series is not built for him. I thought that we should have probably played our game and maybe adjusted to us other than us playing their game and going small ball so much. Sometimes, yes, but not so much. I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. It's pretty clear. Listen, Steven Adams couldn't play in games 1 and 2 because he had COVID. He was in the protocol, right? So he couldn't have played in games. He did play last night, played well. And so really it comes down to game 3. He should have started game 3. Unless it was a health reason he couldn't. And I'll believe Taylor Jenkins who said it wasn't. So he should have started game 3. Would that have made a difference in that game? No, but I can imagine an alternate universe where Steven Adams did not get COVID, started the entire series, and Ja was healthy. Where they beat the Warriors, right? I could imagine that universe. 5-3-5-3. Oh, where? You know what? If you're on the line, we'll get to you. If not, you're going to have to wait and call in, talk to Jason and John, because sadly, we have other things we have to. We'll have more callers.
Yeah,
we'll have more callers during the course of the day. Seth and Bartlett. Seth, you're on.
Hey, Jeff. I feel like I could speak for all of Memphis. I think the way that we feel this morning is that reality finally kicked in. I think that's how I'm feeling, at least. I'm just not ready for the season to be over. I know it's not over, but it certainly looks bleak.
But I think this season,
I think in the midst of COVID and everything that's gone on, this was the first real season, and for them to have overperformed the way that they have, I think last night, at least for myself and probably for everyone else, it was like a moment of reality of this team is way ahead of schedule, and maybe they're not quite ready to win a championship just yet. And like someone said earlier, you know, we were talking crazy. I've been talking crazy. I've been like, man, this team might actually like do something special this year. And I think that's just sort of where I'm at this morning as I was like, yes, we're not quite there yet, maybe. But I am really proud of the team. I think that, you know, last night was frustrating to say the least, but I think we still have some stuff to learn, but I am really proud of this team.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate
Good call.
It. I think that's a fine sentiment. Last two on this topic, we go to Chris in Brighton. Chris, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, man?
We're good.
Hey, the guy that called in said that Curry was a genius. My opinion is he's an a-hole, but I think it's easy.
Don't you like his crypto ad? Don't you love his crypto ad? Screw you,
Steph. Keep it real, Chris.
But it's easy to be a genius when you get all the calls, especially, you know, in a league where it's really, really close to being almost like WWF. A good podcast to listen to is Whistleblower. It's about Tom Donahue, but it kind of explains things that goes on in the NBA, just like that foul, loose ball foul against Bain with 26 seconds. Man, I'm sorry, but that was not a loose ball foul. I mean, there's no way that he pushed Curry, and he flew in the air like he was the Batman's little brother or something. It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, it was ridiculous, man. And that was the difference, because it was 26 seconds, and if that call was not called, which it should have been, then we would have been the ones getting fouled shooting free throws, not them. And I just think that, you know, it does. And I know this is an ongoing, I'm beating a dead horse, but it, you know, it's just because it's Memphis. It's because it's Memphis and because it's Golden State. You know, it's almost like they want them to go to the next round.
Thank you, Chris.
And that's just
appreciate
my opinion.
It. Thanks. Appreciate it. Last call on this. Again, we'll be taking more calls throughout the course of the day. D. Midge in East Memphis. D. Midge, how are you, sir?
Jeff, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. Hey, I'm going to keep it real brief, man. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And the famous words of GP who's about to call, that was wild when you mentioned the numbers of Brooks. This man has single-handedly lost us this series. I don't care what anybody says. We look great. We have done what we're supposed to do. This guy had the hard foul, which took him out of the other game, and he literally gave them a present yesterday by just shooting us out of the game. I mean, at what point was this man going to say, you know what, like you said, I ain't got it? He just kept doubling down and kept shooting. I have a really big ego, and I'm not lacking for confidence. But I know my limitations. This guy, I mean, he has me beat, bro. So that's all I wanted
to
say.
It was
wild to think of how much this man just cost us the series.
I don't know. Thank you very much. I don't know what was going through his head in that last moment. Like, and listen, the old thing is, like, shooter's going to shoot, right? They got to keep shooting. It doesn't matter.
Keep getting
short
up.
Memory.
Keep jit shots
but what is
up.
It?
Yeah.
Ted Lasso
mm-hmm.
was beat goldfish.
Yes.
Goldfish don't have a memory.
Short memory.
Short memory.
Yeah.
And whatever else. Shooter's going to shoot, right? If you're Steph, you're going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
And if you're a Warriors fan, you want Steph to keep shooting.
That's what he does.
But what you, if you're Dylan, you're not a shooter. Like
no.
You have good nights, you have good shooting nights, you have bad shooting nights, but you're not one of the great shooters in the league. So for you contribute in other ways. Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson.
Perfect.
My God, that shot is a mess right now.
It's really ratchety.
It's sad to watch.
Yeah, it's rough.
Now, I mean, it's like
the catapult thing.
It is
slow drawbridge.
And now it spilled over to from the line. He can't hit a shot either. So that's rough. But so Kyle, is he out there jacking up 21 shots or whatever it is? No. He's like, oh, this isn't my best world.
No, those shots go to Brooks. Unfortunately.
Anyway, GP coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, I don't know if the Grizzlies are going to be part of the playoffs next for much longer, but you can be at FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the course of the playoffs, every single week, they're having the same game, no sweat parlay. And so if you win, FanDuel Sportsbook is, of course, official partner of the NBA. You'll get your money fast, secure, all of that. If you don't win, up to $20 in free bets every single week. Every single week of the playoffs, whether the Grizzlies are there or not. $20 in free bets in the no-sweat same-game parlay. Up to $20 in free bets. All you got to do, if you're not a member yet, is download the app and use promo code Calkins, CALKINS. Must be 21 or older. Present Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawal. Free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $20 a week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Tennessee red line 1-800-889-9789. GP joins us next. Then Chris Harrington. Then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Jeff Calkins show on a cranky ass Tuesday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined on the Service Master by Cornerstone Hotline by Gary Parrish. Gary's the host of a radio show on this very, very station every single day from 4 to 6. I jump on at 5. And he's also National College Basketball columnist, commentator, all of that for CBS. Multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology. And a man who understands what motivates people to do strange things like, I didn't even know this story. Somehow I'd missed it completely. But Vicky White, you told me the saga, Gary, of Casey and Vicky White, I'm on Twitter. I don't know how I missed it, but ended tragically for Vicky White because she died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. She, after helping Casey White escape from prison, they're unrelated, were apprehended yesterday on the show, breaking news on the show, and now she had died. But I want you to know that Casey did tell the police, and this is going to help you here, that he did not do it.
Yeah, we're just not going to be able to take his word for it. On that, like
he said, help my wife. The car rolled over. The high speed chase car wrecked and rolled over. Casey then said, "Help my wife," and I did not do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to trust him on this one. We're going to have to do our own investigation because do you realize he had an ex girlfriend in, I believe, 2008, who also died of a quote self inflicted gunshot wound. So according to Casey, if you take him at his word, and I don't know why you should, he's had two women kill themselves in front of him. That seems statistically improbable.
Seems statistically improbable.
So they had already announced last week they were going to revisit this case from like 2008 because they're like, you know what? A bit of hindsight. Maybe she didn't shoot
was
herself.
Was all of this maybe before he'd ever been arrested for anything? Like, this is just like that. This thing? Yeah.
Oh, I think he's forever been arrested for everything.
For everything, right.
But ultimately, it ended up with 75 years in prison because of an incident with another ex-girlfriend. There was some thought that he was breaking out of prison this time to go kill the other ex-girlfriend and then die suicide by cop. And instead, he ends up in a high-speed chase, and he claims that Vicky shot herself. I also read she was driving. So, like, how does that work? She's driving, and then she just, like, shoots herself?
You know,
or they wreck, and then
everyone
she pulls out a gun and shoots herself?
Yeah, shooting yourself while driving is like it's dangerous. Everyone knows that's dangerous. You know?
It's like if you're ranking worse dangerous things to do, it's way worse than texting. It's way worse than texting.
Right. Like eating while driving, drinking coffee. Some people don't like that or whatever. Texting and driving is worse.
Yeah.
But shooting yourself while driving. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no getting around the fact that shit. Like, I wish on the interstate they would update those signs. Like, they're always telling you, like, don't text and drive. I always be like, don't shoot yourself and drive. Don't put a bullet in your head while driving. It could cause an accident.
Is it inappropriate for us to be talking like this, Gary?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But I mean, what are you gonna do?
I mean, the truth of the matter is that if I was Vicky White, I would have made different choices, I hope. But if I was, I would probably just as soon have shot myself. Like, I really do think at that point, like, enough. Like, that's probably the way to go. If you shot yourself, if he shot you, that's just like, you got to be doubling it. What was I thinking? Like, if the moment that he shoots you, you got to be, holy crap, what was I thinking?
I broke you out of jail, sold my house, and now you're just going to shoot me in the head?
Right.
But it was never going to end well.
No.
I couldn't begin to understand how a woman who, by all accounts, was a model employee for decades ends up in this situation outside of, you know, the obvious reasons people make stupid decisions. But what a nightmare of a situation. Like, you know, we are goofing around a little bit. Like, like her mother, like, had to watch this story unfold. Yes. You know, her mother had to get that phone call yesterday. And, like, the whole thing is it's a ridiculous headline-grabbing story. At its core, it's an obvious tragedy.
What do you think, among the various emotions that Grizzlies fans might have after yesterday, and everyone can have their own emotions, but, like, what strikes you? Disappointment, frustration with Dylan Brooks, worry about Ja Morant? Like, what's the headliner for you?
Frustration. I don't think disappointment, because when you're a double-digit underdog playing the Warriors on the road without your best player, if you're disappointed to lose, well, then you didn't properly understand what you were up against. So I don't know that disappointment registers, but frustration, because somehow, some way, you had yourself in a winning situation. Like, they, given the way that game unfolded, they should have won that game. Like, I actually thought they were going to win that game. And then they just gave it away. More specifically, Dylan Brooks really played a heavy hand in giving it away. So frustration with the way you lost. Not disappointment that you lost, but frustration with how you lost, given the circumstances of that game. And then I think obvious frustration with Dylan Brooks. I mean, he has forever been a role player who doesn't understand that he's a role player. And last night, on the biggest of stages, it was on display for the world to see. I mean, the shot selection was embarrassing. And given that this guy has already basically missed two games in the series because of a stupid, reckless, dumb play, for him to come back into the series and just shoot you right out of a game, frustration with him for sure. Like, you know, I didn't get into the, you have to trade him this offseason, but you know, I've never been as big of a fan of Dylan Brooks as Dylan Brooks fans are. And if they certainly looked into moving on from him in some form, I wouldn't be the one to object.
Well, no, I mean, his contract runs through next year. And so you either extend him or he walks or you trade him. Like, those are the options. And so it's all coming. It's coming to pass. It is interesting to me, and I've heard various, like, general managers talk about that the ability to analyze your own game and to be realistic about it is itself, along with a jumper or, you know, the ability, is an ability, and those who lack it, it's a real problem. And it's not like it's specific to Dylan Brooks. Jeff Green had this problem. Rudy Gay had this problem. And I'm sure you can think of college basketball players who had this problem, in that you don't, in the end, you have to know who you are or who you can be at your most productive, at your best, how you can best help your team win. And it seems to be, and at this point, it's not the first time, it seems to be something that eludes Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, it eludes a lot of people in all walks of life, but it especially shows up in sports all the time. Like, if Eric Hasseltine got sick tomorrow, and they didn't know what to do, and they reached out to me and said, Gary, Eric's sick, he cannot do the game, would you be interested in doing the game? I would say no, because I can't do that. You know, I know that I'm not equipped to do that. You know, maybe if I worked at it for years, I could get to a respectable point, but I know I could not do that job. You know, like if Jim Rome got sick and they said, Gary, we need somebody to host a radio show for 3 hours. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. That's something I've done for a long time, and I'm capable of doing it. But I just can't do this other thing. Dylan Brooks doesn't seem to understand what he can and cannot do. And, you know, I heard you talking about it, and I totally understand it. Like, you know, at some point, does the coaching staff rein him in? I
was going to ask you, how does that work? Like, is that a conversation that you can have with a player? Like, I mean, John Calipari used to have it specifically, bluntly with players, right?
I think you can have it in practice. I think you can have it at the collegiate level. Like, there's no shortage of college coaches who would yell in the face of a student athlete, do not take that shot again or you will not play anymore.
Right.
But that's just not really the way pro coaches, NBA coaches talk to players regularly.
Right.
So I don't know if you can actually in the huddle say, all right, Dylan, cut it out. No more shots. I don't think you can do that.
Right.
I think you have to hope that his teammates, like coaches have always told me, your best teams are when the players coach the teams. Not like draw up the plays, but when they police everything. Players hold other players accountable. So what you would hope if you're Taylor Jenkins, I think, is your players rein him in. Jaren Jackson steps up and says something. Or, and I'm not, you know, assigning who would be the voice in that huddle, but somebody steps up and says, hey, you cannot keep taking these shots. You're killing us. And Dylan can respect it because it comes from a good place.
Couldn't you even say, hey, let's make sure we get good shots. Or, you can even do it in a way that is less pointed, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, that's like when you get those emails from, like, Brad, and they say, hey, let's make sure to stay on time today.
You know? And you know who they're like, pointing at, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know who you're talking to, but, you know, you don't need to send that to Mark Giannotto. He's staying on time. Fine.
Right.
But, like, maybe you need to – so it's a little bit like that. You can, in the huddle, be like, hey, let's make sure we get a good shot on this possession. Dylan. I mean, you don't say Dylan, but that's what you're looking at. I think the more likely way you handle that is you just say, hey, come sit over here with me. And we're just going to go in another direction for this game. We'll reset when this is over, but we're trying to win this game, and you're not helping us win this game. Dylan Brooks.
You would have sat him. Think he should have sat him. Who would you have had in there? D'Anthony Melton was bad. Zaire Williams
literally
actually
anybody.
Hit some shots. Literally anybody.
Literally,
you would have sat him.
Yeah, I would have sat him down. I was getting text messages from, you know, NBA reporters who were like, what is Taylor Jenkins doing letting him play this way? And I don't think you can change him.
Well,
that's
the question, though. Is it letting him play that?
What I think they mean is, like, I don't think you can change him on the court, but you could take him off the court. I would have taken him off the court.
I think I would have had some conversation with him. Like, in the end, I don't know who the hell they have. Like, I mean, and he was, in other ways, helping you defensively. It's no accident that they gave up, 145 points the previous game? It wasn't all Dylan. But, like, I just want – it is just so frustrating when you can't have the Dylan you want. But you can't. There's that old story about a scorpion and a tortoise, Gary. Have you heard this one?
I know it, sure.
Yes. And the scorpion wants to ride across the frickin' river, and the turtle or the tortoise or whatever looks at him and says, I'm not going to give you a ride across the river. What are you talking about? You're a frickin' scorpion. And the scorpion says, listen, you can trust me. If I sting you and we go across the river, we're both going to die. Like, give me a lift across the river. So the turtle says, okay, fine, I'll give you a ride across the river. Scorpion jumps on his back. They're halfway across the river. Scorpion stings him, and they both drown. And as they're going down, the turtle says, what the hell were you, what was that about? Scorpion says, I'm a scorpion. What'd you expect? Like, in the end, you are what you are, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
That works here, doesn't it, KGP? Scorpion story? You would have sat the scorpion. You would have sat the scorpion.
I would have benched the scorpion. Like, Dylan Brooks played 39 minutes last night, and it was clear after a handful of them that, you know, it wasn't his night. I at the very least, in closing time, when we're trying to match them bucket for bucket, I would have set him down because he, A, wasn't getting buckets, and B, he wasn't going to stop shooting. And I don't need a guy at that point who's going to keep taking shots when he's not making them and keep taking bad shots. Like,
awful shots. Like, what the hell was he freaking thinking? It was almost hard to get your mind around what you were watching. And then there were other moments. He'd skip the ball off his foot out of bounds. Or how about that one where he was trying to just whiff it over his head to someone in the front row. And like, well, that ball must have been deflected. And then they show the replay. And no, the ball wasn't deflected. He just whipped it over his head to a dude in the front row.
Yeah, it was like heat check stuff early in a shot clock when he's not on a heat check. You know, it was just it was one bad thing after another after another. I would have reached a point last night where I would have set him down. I don't know how telling him not to shoot actually impacts the other parts of his game that you value, which is why you have him on the court, because players don't like to be talked to like that. But I would have anybody else. I would have ridden with anybody else and tried to get out of there with a win, and you can reset heading into game five. He's back home. He's out of that environment. He's not getting booed like crazy. I'm not saying I would have benched him and never played him again, but I would have not tried to win that game with him last night.
Steven Adams helped the cause, didn't he, GP? It was pretty clearly the wrong decision not to start him in game three, although I don't know that it would have made a difference.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have made a difference, but, I mean, he was effective last night.
He was.
You know, 10 points. 15 rebounds. You know, he's tough. He sets hard screens. All the stuff everybody knows about him was was there in those 27 minutes he played last night. And so, listen, I'm not going to second guess those types of personnel decisions because, you know, he didn't play at all against Minnesota after game one, I guess. He had COVID, came back. You had just won game two. So, like, maybe it's like, you know, coaches are in many ways superstitious. Like, we just won doing this way. Let's do it this way again. Yes, it was a mistake. For every game further this series goes, Steven Adams will be a starter. But, you know, that he didn't start game three doesn't bother me that much.
Of course, you know, I felt this immense frustration I felt frustration. My disappointment was for them. You know, and given that where they had gotten the game too, I was then disappointed, and I was disappointed for them, and I was certainly frustrated at how it played out. Big picture, once Ja went down, this is all kind of academic. I mean, I don't mean to be a doomsayer, but this is all academic. And whatever frustration you felt last night or anyone felt last night, I mean, I don't. They're not winning the series without Ja. Like, Charles Barkley is right about that, it seems to me. And then you see Ja over there with his hoodie on and the Grizzlies continuing to say, oh, well, he's continuing to be evaluated. Whereas Jaren Jackson Jr. is a little blunter. He's like, it's a sad situation. I'll be stunned if we see him tomorrow. And it's a worrisome situation, at least going forward, is it not?
Well, this is the third time this season that he's had to miss time with some sort of knee issue, and both knees have been involved. So we haven't had the devastating knee injury, but it's a lot of knee stuff that can certainly take a toll. Continues to be evaluated. I mean, they hide behind all these little weird phrases.
It is weird how they, and by the way, they also hide their players. Dylan, I don't think it necessarily would have helped him to talk. Like, Dylan, like, he wasn't allowed to talk until shoot around yesterday, and then he didn't talk after the game last night. Like, they hide their players on this, all this weird continuing. What is the point? Everyone, like, other teams are not this weird about it.
Yeah, I don't understand the point. They've forever been weird about injuries and the opposite of transparent. I'm actually a little surprised. I don't know that the NBA hasn't talked to them about it. But if the NBA hasn't talked to them about it, I'd be a little surprised if they haven't. You know, messing around with injury reports, like somebody got fined within the past week or two about this. I think it was the Suns with Devin Booker, because Devin Booker was listed a certain way and then came back, and they were like, you were not transparent about that. I guess, you know, they're smart people doing this over there, so they know what they can get. I guess they know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. But lifting Ja Morant as anything other than out last night seems ridiculous. He was never going to play, that's clear. You know, they have, you know, when other franchises have injuries, it's like Gary Payton II got an MRI. What was the result? He has a fractured elbow. He'll be sidelined for 3 to 5 weeks. You know, Chris Middleton suffered a this. He's going to be out for this amount of time. And the Grizzlies are always like, I mean, Ja Morant got hurt on Saturday. It's Tuesday. Like, if my son got hurt on Saturday, we would know by now what's wrong with him.
Right.
And Ja Morant has access to all of the best information and people that you could possibly, you know, gather. So the idea that they're this secretive about it, it just runs counter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.